Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I am your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Doing well in the Lord, brother.
All right, all right. And also with us is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Well, praise God. We are back going at this topic. And one of the reasons we're doing it is because it's a favorite of ours. In all honesty, when I think about Jesus not merely being an angel, Jesus not merely being a man, Jesus not merely being a mode that the Father goes into, but Jesus being the uncreated creator of all things, I get excited about that subject. So, and one of the reasons, in all honesty, for me, is from the apologetic standpoint. For sharing the gospel, the purposes of sharing the gospel. Two of my favorite groups, I would say, to share the gospel with are probably the Jehovah's Witness and the Muslims, because of one reason. And that's because we get to bring up the deity of Christ and I get to brag about my Savior. And so when I see them using material, and that's the backdrop of the last two episodes, when I see atheists trying to use the material, or Muslims, or Jehovah's Witness, of Dr. Bart Ehrman, the Bible critic, one of the most foreknown, I guess, Bible critics, at least in America, I would say, in terms of merely scripturally manuscripts and the critiquing of scripture. Bart Ehrman is probably the most well-known. He's done the most debates against different scholars on the subject. So when I look at him recanting things and then seeing the very source material that the Jehovah's Witness or the Muslim may use to bring forth this information to me when I'm sharing with, and then he completely recants that view and they hold on to it, I think it's really good to expose that. I think it's really important to expose that, because I don't want this nonsense going out there and people saying, well, we have a scholar that agrees with us, and not even the scholar, who is an apostate himself, who has been proven wrong on a number of things, not even he agrees with the point that you're trying to hold up to. And one of the things that bothers me is that, especially with atheists, a lot of times it's, here, I'll just throw out 100 bad arguments and maybe one of them will stick. And that's what this is. This is 100 bad arguments, hoping that one of them will stick. And this is specifically the evolutionary theory of the deity of Christ, that John is the one who presented clearly the deity of Christ, but that he wasn't presented as divine in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. So what we've been going through over these last two episodes is Bart Ehrman's statement, his recantation, and now specifically we really want to dig into what he believes also, even in that recanting, because in all honesty, I believe a lot of this, and I've watched his debates, very proud man. I believe some of his recanting is only to some degree. I'm only going to recant so much, and I think it's time to expose this as best as we can. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, amen. Absolutely, Chad. In fact, there's still a lot of Muslims going around and other liberals and, you know, so forth that will parrot Bart Ehrman and say, yeah, Bart Ehrman's book, you know, Jesus, you know, how Jesus became God, and, you know, it shows how he wasn't God in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it was later when John was written, you know, decades later, that he's presented as God, and they're not even aware that he recanted his position. And now he admits that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of them, reveal that they teach, show forth their hearts and what they believed, that Jesus is God. Now, of course, he doesn't believe the text is inspired, but we believe that he is absolutely God, and that he's God not only in the Gospel of John, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Christians stood on that. We said, no, you're wrong, Bart. You're wrong. And then Bart finally recanted his position because he was, you know, there's so much evidence for it in the Gospels. So we just looked at a little bit of the gospel, the synoptic gospels, as they're called, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, last episode. But I want you to be aware, we're here to equip you, to encourage you to, you know, grow together, iron sharpening iron. You know, the three of us get sharpened. We get sharpened by your feedback, by your questions, by your encouragement, by your challenges. It's a beautiful thing, but we want to equip the saints. That's what the Bible says. God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers for the work of the ministry, you know, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. So just, we hope that you retain a lot of this knowledge, you know, as you listen to these shows and so forth. You're just going to, you're going to become, you know, more and more, you know, fine-tuned scripturally, but you're going to run into people. It could be Muslims, and it could just be skeptics that read Bart Ehrman, because they're looking for a way out. They're looking at a loophole. They're hoping Jesus isn't the Messiah. They're hoping that there's not real judgment. They can just live how they want, because Jesus said that people would love darkness rather than light, that they wouldn't come to the light. They wouldn't come to him, the one who is the light of the world, because they love darkness. But a lot of times that darkness is shrouded and excused in excuses as to why not to bow to Jesus. I know I made those excuses myself before I was a Christian. You know, I was a skeptic. I had my arguments against Christianity. And then when it was all said and done, I was, you know, God showed me to be a fool, showed me that I was living a lie and that he was who he claimed to be. He revealed himself through his son. And I had to bow my knee before him and come to Jesus. But when you take a closer look, and like I said, I'm glad Bart has admitted that he was wrong, that Matthew, Mark, and Luke do show that Jesus is God just like John. But I shouldn't say just like. He would say, and this is the caveat, or this is the you know, where he changed it up, though, and he's still in serious error. He says, well, yeah, they all show him as God, but they don't understand him to be God the way, you know, the Gospel of John does, as a divine being, you know. In fact, he states that they didn't even agree with each other, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, that they all had a different view of how he was God and so forth. And we would say, you know, that's hogwash, because the scriptures that declare in the synoptics that he is God, sometimes those same scriptures are repeated in all three of the gospel accounts, revealing that they understood him to be God in the same way. And they all understood, as John did, that he is Yahweh. We see that John states, as I mentioned last episode, that Isaiah spoke regarding Jesus when he saw him. And that when you go to Isaiah chapter 6, which is what's referenced there, it's when Isaiah sees him high and lifted up, and the angels proclaiming, the seraphim, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Well, guess what? And he's called Yahweh in that context. And we see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that they also understood that he was Yahweh. Now, how does Bart Ehrman understand or claim that these other guys, as he would look at them as just guys, understood Jesus to be God if it wasn't as Yahweh? Well, listen to what he says here. He basically has Mark viewing Jesus as just simply a mortal man, and not becoming God until his baptism, and when he's basically, you know, promotes a form of adoptionism, which is a heresy, and that he really didn't become God and thought of as God until he was baptized and the Father adopted him. So he literally states that Mark, he's just really a mortal man until his baptism. And he states that Luke didn't even think Jesus pre-existed, that he didn't exist prior to becoming a human being, and that he didn't understand Jesus to be God with the Father from the beginning, or Yahweh as well. In fact, let me quote what Ehrman states. He says, quote, for Mark, Jesus was adopted to be God, God's son, at his baptism, not God, but God's son at his baptism. Before that, he was a mere mortal. Catch that? Before that, he was a mere mortal. For Luke, Jesus was conceived by God, and so was literally God's son from that point, or from the point of his conception. In Luke, Jesus did not exist prior to that conception to the Virgin. His conception is when he came into existence. So he teaches basically that, you know, Mark says, you know, Mark basically teaches he was just a mortal man before his baptism. Luke doesn't believe he even pre-existed, even though this is nowhere stated in any of those Gospels. You won't find it. It's just Bart Ehrman's, you know, imagination and what he would hope to be true. For John, he goes on to write, Jesus was a pre-existent divine being, the Word of God, who was both with God and was God at the beginning of all things, who became a human. So he gets that part right. Then he goes on, so yes, now I agree. He admits this. So now I agree that Jesus is portrayed as a divine being. Okay? So he acknowledges that. But listen to this. Let's now look at his arguments that Mark just saw him as a mortal before his baptism. Think about that. Remember, he's positing the claim that Mark simply saw him as a mere mortal man before his baptism, and he didn't pre-exist either, and that Luke believed that he didn't have a pre-existence. Even though he can't show that in their writings, we're going to show the absolute obvious opposite is the case. In fact, I'm going to quote a little bit more of what he states there. Well, you know, enough of his quotes. Let's get into the Word of God. Okay. We read in Mark chapter 12, and I'm going to go before the baptism in Mark 2 in a moment. But in Mark 12, Jesus refers to Psalm 110, verse 1. He does this also, by the way, in Luke chapter 20, verses 41 through 44. Guess what Jesus says? Now, this is going to prove, because keep in mind, he doesn't believe that Mark or Luke believe that Jesus preexisted. Listen to what Mark 12 and Luke 24, or Luke 20, I'm sorry, states regarding what Jesus said regarding his own person and who he is. He quotes Psalm 110, verse 1, which says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Now notice, Jesus is quoting Psalm 110:1. "The Lord says to my Lord," two lords there, "sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." He quotes that to the Jewish leaders to make a certain point that he wasn't simply the son of David, meaning a descendant of David in accordance with the messianic prophecies, but that he was more. And Jesus actually says that David said in the Holy Spirit. He wants you to understand that David was inspired by the Holy Spirit when he said this, and that he states that Jesus was David's Lord back in David's day, guys. Okay? He's saying, why? He goes on to talk to these Jewish leaders and says, why does David call him Lord if he's his son? In other words, if I'm the son of David, and that's all I am, and I'm not the one that you need to bow down to, basically, why does David call him Lord and say, "The Lord said to my Lord"? Okay, that's just so powerful. So he's basically concluding that Psalm 110, he basically says, I quote Jesus here, quote, "David himself calls him Lord, so how is he his son?" End quote. So he's pointing out that he was David's Lord in David's day, which was about 900 years previous to the dialogue that was going on there in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and in Luke. So we're seeing right away, Ehrman's wrong when he states that Luke doesn't believe Jesus even preexisted. Yet Luke in chapter 20, verses 41 through 44, gives us the same account, you know, and reveals to us that Jesus, that Mark and Luke both understood that Jesus was David's Lord prior to his incarnation. I think that's very, very important. Now it gets even heavier, guys, because remember, he states that Mark just thought of him as a mortal man until his baptism, and that's when he was adopted as God, you know? Nothing could be further from the truth, because the truth is that Bart Ehrman ignores the fact that earlier in Mark, before his baptism, prior to his baptism, okay, that Jesus is referred to as the Yahweh of the Old Testament. And you know what I'm going to do? Sit back and just listen if you're driving, or you're just listening at home or through the net or what have you. Listen to this. Just listen to the beginning of Mark 1. Remember John 1, how strong it is with Jesus being God? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was beginning with Him, with God, and nothing came into being but by Him, and all things were made by Him, and so forth. Well, Mark 1 is really strong too, before His baptism. The very first verses are, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way.'" The voice, and who was a messenger that would prepare his way, by the way? That was fulfilled in what person?
Verse 4 says John the Baptist.
John the Baptist, amen. Chad's ahead of me here. "Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way." Verse 3, "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Make ready the way of the Lord.'" And by the way, it's all caps because it's a quotation from the Old Testament, because it is YHWH. It's the Tetragrammaton. It's Yahweh. It's the God. It's the creator of the universe. "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Make ready the way of the Yahweh. Make his path straight.' John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness," goes on to say, "preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." There's your witness. There's your messenger preparing the way of the Lord. Who's the Lord, though? We'll continue to read verse 5. "And all the country of Judea was going out to him, and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist, and his diet was locust and wild honey." Yum. "And he was preaching and saying, 'After me, one is coming who is mightier than I.'" That's right, because he's preparing the way of Yahweh. "After me, one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to stoop down to untie the thong of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And obviously he's talking about Jesus, who he, you know, later we see, he also states, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now this is what I find interesting. I was looking at how Bart would get around this verse because I was trying to find if he addressed it anywhere. And I found out that somebody gave this verse to him. Says, hey, this is before his baptism. He's declared as God here, you know, as Yahweh. They understood he pre-existed, Mark chapter 1. And this guy seems to be a skeptic too, the way he asks this question, because he sounds like he's one with it. He goes, wait, you seem to be off on this though. Give me some, he's basically looking for ammo, because maybe a Christian had hit him with him. I'm not sure what his motives were. And you know what Bart says? He responds by saying, well, you know what? Mark, you know, he read the Greek Old Testament. So when he read Lord, he wouldn't have understood it as Yahweh. So I don't think he understood it as Yahweh. I thought, wow, that is so sad and weak and pathetic. You know why? I'm going to go back to Isaiah chapter 40, mm-hmm. verse 3, and tell me if you need the Hebrew to understand who he's preparing the way for. Listen to this, guys. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Brothers so and sisters, you guys, this is so clear, you know, and it's so beautiful. So next time someone tells you, if someone ever does, that, hey, Jesus is just God in John, and that came later, but not in Mark, you know, because many believe Mark's the first gospel account, not in Matthew, not in Luke. Even Bart Ehrman has a book on that. Say, well, you know, he recanted his position. And then they say, oh, they might be a little more learned. Oh, yeah, he recanted. But you know what? He does point out that they don't understand him as Yahweh. You know, just John did. Really? Well, check this out. Just go to Matthew 1. You don't have to go through everything we've gone through in these last two episodes. Go to Mark chapter 1, I'm sorry, and just go through the first seven verses and show them chapter 40, verse 31 from Isaiah, and show them that he's preparing the way of Yahweh. He's preparing the way of God, it says. It's no mistaking. Mark chapter 1 understands Jesus as God. And I enjoy all our studies. I couldn't believe it. Chad or Tony, was it Tony? Before one of the episodes this week, he mentioned that, wow, we've done like 70. I think it was Chad said it was actually over 70 now episodes. I'm like, man, I can't believe we rattled that many off. But keep praying for us. You know, this is where people typically ask for money, but we don't. Just keep praying for us. Of course, if you want to strengthen the ministry in other ways, praise God. We could always use help. But keep praying for us and keep sharing our podcast with others, because we believe we're getting a lot of truth out there and a lot of scripture. I don't think you're going to find many podcasts that use as many scriptures as we use. And we go through it contextually, and we face cutting edge issues and so forth. And I just want to encourage you, this is important, because right now there is a battle for souls. We're in a spiritual war, and we're whipping out the sword of the truth every episode and seeking to have the belt of truth on it and have the feet paired with the gospel of peace and proclaim the truth and stand fast with the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith, all these things. But we need to work together. So we want to encourage you, share our, I wasn't planning on saying this, must be from the Lord. I hope it is, because I've been praying and seeking him, and it's just toward the end of our episode. But it hit my heart that, you know, guys, get the word out, because we want to equip the body of Christ more. Somebody wrote in and they mentioned how they'll listen to one short episode of this and they'll get way more than they'll get from a long sermon in whatever church they're going to. And our hope is to get the truth in the hands of believers so the church could be literate again and so we could take a stand for the truth.
Yeah, and let me just to piggyback that, you know, it's not just, you know, other people sending us emails. Our own home church, not to be any offense, but people were completely surprised about our coming up to, I know Tony, myself, Joe, and are like, whoa, I've been getting so much out of the half-hour episodes, and it's perfect because I'm driving to work, and boom, I play the episode, and I literally get to work, and okay, it's time to go, and I get to listen to a new one on the way home. And we love your questions. Keep bringing them. We love talking about this stuff. And please pray for that studio, because we're really excited to do even more stuff. I know we're already at the gills right now, but we're really, really prayerful about continuing, because this is a subject. How did this all start? somebody text messaging me while I'm sitting next to Joe, and he's like, I'm witnessing to this guy, and here's what he's saying. And I'm like, man, this is so awesome that we get to edify this way, and we get to build up this way, and we get to say, okay, let's put your work, Mr. Ehrman, under a microscope, and let's look at it. Does it line up with Scripture? And I'm sorry, I didn't even know Joe was coming out with that quote. I didn't know that was his argument. But that's why, if I laughed, I was just not ready for that bad of an argument. I mean, honestly, that's just me.
From
being
me or
candid.
From Bart now, brother?
From Bart. Well, yeah, the Septuagint. And then you go to the text that he's quoting, yeah. And it's like, oh, how embarrassing.
I mean, just in your face, Lord and
but
God.
You know, it's spiritual, though, because Bart's an intelligent guy.
I mean, I have a hard time believing he hasn't read the Isaiah.
Yeah, he's either lying or completely
but
just.
I'll leave
blinded.
That to God, but you know, you see that, you're like, come on, man. Yeah, and I think it's important, too, that, and by the way, when Chad says people that we were surprised, we've had a number of people, this is what's really blessed my heart. I've had a number of people, and there's people that, you know, in every fellowship is like this. You have people that are like really into the word, they're pressing on, they're always talking about scripture. You have other people that, you know, they're still on the milk and so forth. And it was so awesome seeing some people that have come to me that I didn't realize they were so excited about the scriptures, you know. And I knew they were excited about scripture. They love Jesus. These are people that love the Lord. But there was this like extra excitement. You know, keep the episodes going. I just saw, it was just beautiful to see the love of the word in people.
Yeah, amen.
And this is infectious. So I'm letting you know, some of the gals that came up to me, just one, I think it was at our wedding reception, is like two different gals in one night came up to me separately when the podcast just started. And they both said the same thing separately. Please keep them coming. I'm really being blessed. I'm growing so much. So you guys, what we're saying is that share these with others. Say, you might want to check this out because we want more and more people to get the truth. And there's so many lies out there. We want to cut through those lies and have people stand in the last days and build up the remnant. We really feel the Lord's called us to that. By the way, a few more quotes from Jesus just to emphasize who he is. In John 5:18, and quotes from John, John 5:18. Listen to this. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Now, I read that to Jehovah's Witness one time. They say, well, that's not Jesus saying that. You know? And I said, who is it? He goes, well, that's his opponents were saying that. I go, no, look carefully. It says, but he was even calling his own Father. He was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. It doesn't say they were saying that. Mm-hmm. That's the Holy Spirit saying that Jesus made himself equal with God. And just a few verses later, in verse 23 of John 5, it says that all should honor the Father, Jesus says. This is the will of the Father. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Can you imagine, you know, Chad or Tony or myself meeting you and say, you know, you're supposed to honor me just the way you honor the Father. That would be blasphemy. Mm-hmm. That would be heresy. And we know Jesus said, you know, not only, you know, we only find these statements, but in John 8:58, one of my favorites, you know, before Abraham was, I am. We talked about that last episode. But listen to this. This is a pretty scary verse. John 8:24. He says, that's why I told you that you will die in your sins. He's talking about the religious leaders that are rejecting him. That you will die in your sins. Listen to this. For unless you believe that I am, egoimi, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. That's the International Standard Version, not the NIV, but the International Standard Version. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And that's a great translation because there's no me. Most translations say I am he, I should say at the end. There's no he in the Greek. That's why it's italicized in a lot of translations. It's just, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And in light of what he says before Abraham was, I am, in the same chapter, and how he's declared and shown and revealed to be the great I am of the Old Testament, I believe that's a really good translation there. We have to realize there is a spiritual war that Satan is playing for keeps. Our lives are like vapors. We live a short life. I mean, compared to eternity, they're very, very short. It's critical, brothers and sisters, that you know the truth, that you know what God's word has to say, mm-hmm. that you understand who Jesus is, because the Bible is very, very clear. It, over and over again, we read in Scripture that Satan, you know, things about his devices and that we're not to be ignorant of his devices and that he has different methodias, different methods, and that he transforms himself into an angel of light, you know, claiming to be bringing enlightenment, and that his ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. That's why you can't just go by what you hear. You have to be in the Scripture. You have to test everything. The Bible says, hold fast to that which is good. And when Paul talks about Satan coming as an angel of light in that chapter, 2 Corinthians 11, that's that place where he says, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. There's a godly jealousy where God's jealous for that which belongs to him, you know, just as there's a godly anger. And he says, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy, Paul says. And that would be like a father, you know, jealous for his daughter even. God has a jealousy for his son's bride. Can you imagine if, you know, if you're a dad, I'm a dad, I have three kids, and if somebody came to the door and said, I'm picking up your daughter, and the guy had, you know, a big pentagram beside the pentagram stuck, you know, tattooed on his forehead, you know, and, you know, he was a gangbanger, and, you know, and he just reeked with drugs and so forth. I'm going to be concerned about my daughter, and I'm going to make sure, you know what, what's going on here, you know? Both my daughters are married, so I'd be doubly concerned.
Yeah, I haven't let that happen, obviously. In years.
Yeah. Amen. Anyway, we need to have a godly jealousy for God's truth. Paul states that he has this godly jealousy for the bride of Christ, you know, meaning God's jealousy. God's jealous for his son's bride. And he said that he's concerned that they might be deceived by Satan's subtlety and from their simple devotion to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the simplicity of their faith. And he says, if someone comes and preaches another gospel than that which we preached, or you receive a different spirit than that we've preached, you know, or that you've received, or you, and this is important, that you believe in a different Jesus, that you're going to bear with it. He's concerned that they might fall for it. By the way, brothers and sisters, that shows you that the New Testament writers were quite concerned that the early believers could fall into, genuine believers could fall away. Because Paul's talking about presenting in that context. If you go, and I don't have that scripture open right now in front of me, but Paul talks about how I want to present you as a chaste virgin before the Lord, that the church he wants to present as this chaste bride, you know, a virgin bride to Jesus at his coming, and that your minds will be deceived from your simple devotion to Christ. He's not talking about to those who have a said faith, who don't really believe, don't really belong to the Lord. He's talking about those who are a part of the bride of Christ, those who have a simple devotion, that they can be deceived into believing in a different Jesus. That's why it's imperative that we know who Jesus is. That's why it's imperative we don't allow liberals or cults to dissuade us from realizing that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. In fact, one of my favorite places to show the deity of Christ is Revelation, the book of Revelation. And Chad already quoted from Isaiah 44:6, which says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am with you. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Savior. You know who that is? Jesus, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and last. I'm the first and last. Only how many first and last can there be? Beside me, there is no God. And it's in Revelation chapter 1, where John, and it's over and over again in the book of Revelation. And we're just going to close this show with wanting you guys to meditate on this, that when John sees him with eyes of fire and he falls down before him as a dead man, Jesus puts his right hand on him and he says, fear not. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death, literally Hades in the Greek. And he says, then he says to John, I am the first and I am the last. And we know it's Jesus. You know why? He goes on to say, I am he that liveth and was dead. But behold, I am alive forevermore. It's obviously not the Father, it's Jesus. And he is the great I am, the one who says, beside me there is no God, along with the Father. We baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because we believe that God has revealed himself as triune and that he is a triune being, three persons, one God. Stick to Jesus, stick to the true Jesus scripture. Do not be led astray. Embrace him with all your heart and continue to pour out your love to him and show others that love too, and seek to be an evangelist by bringing others to the God-man. Because if we do not believe that he is the I am, John 8:24, we will die in our sins.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California 93062, or call us toll free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.